Okay. So take this time to greet one another. And you know what? It may not be as full of a sound, but I tell you what, it's a lot more intimate with just two or three, is it not? I know. I think it's pretty cool. Thank you, praise team. Will you bow your heads with me? Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the Independence Day weekend that we had. We thank you for all the freedoms that we have, Lord, here in America. But most importantly, Lord, thank you for the freedoms we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you'd prepare our hearts and minds. We allow your spirit to dwell in us. Father, that it would edify us, that it would give us wisdom. And Father, that we would be able to seek you and see you in all of these things, Lord. Help us to know you in a more real way. Help us to see you and experience you, Father. We love you, we thank you, we praise you for all that you do. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Welcome. So today's lesson comes from Galatians chapter 5. And we're looking at verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 5. There you go. All right. Let's do a 1-2 question response, and we'll do verse 5 all together, all right? And the Bible says, "It is for the freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Verse 3. "Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law." And verse 5 altogether. "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope." Amen. Amen. So, like I said, I'm sorry, my nose is acting really crazy. So like I was saying, we just had our Independence Day, right? So all of these things that we celebrates one thing and one thing only, our independence. And independence is generally associated with freedoms. So let me ask you today, what are the most basic freedoms that you all enjoy? Oh, inalienable rights, freedom of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Any other freedoms that we like? Freedom to cook. I amen to that. Freedom to cook what I want to cook, what I want to eat. I agree. Man, there's a lot of countries where you can't do that. Any other? Yeah. Sometimes it's rations. Sometimes it's just no access to any kind of foods. Right? I mean, if you look at North Korea, my goodness. What other freedoms do we like to take on or like to believe is what's our power? Because as Americans, are we not all about our freedoms? Right? Freedom of speech. Do we not take that seriously, right? That's one of the most important things. I can say whatever I want to say to a certain extent, right? What else? What are freedom of religion? Man, my goodness, we live in America. How blessed are we that we can come? I mean, I'm not saying go to a mosque or anything, but if you're Muslim, you have the freedom to do that. If you're Buddhist, you have freedom to go to a temple. If you're Mormon, you can do the same. If you're a Jew, you can absolutely go to a Jewish temple and to a synagogue and worship God however you want. And what my favorite thing is, and because we're a body of Christ, we get to come together and worship God together. But these are all freedoms that we take for granted, is it not? We take it for granted because we live in America. But at any given point, if these things were taken away from us, how would we react? How would we react? Right? Think about it. If all of a sudden you weren't able to say whatever you wanted to say, or if you wouldn't be able to cook what you wanted to cook. Right? So sad. So today's sermon is all about this. We're going to talk about freedoms. It's basically a two-point sermon. And it's going to focus on Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And it's talking about what these freedoms are, okay? What Christ has done and why it's so important. And secondly, why we need to stand firm on these things. Why is it so important that we hold on to these truths? Because The book of Galatians tackles a lot of different subject matters, right? It talks about law, it talks about grace, it talks about works. But most importantly, it talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It also talks about the Holy Spirit and the Lord's death and his resurrection and the sanctification process that happens to every one of us for those who call upon Jesus Christ. Now, sanctification is a fancy word, but what it means is, right, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that's that process of becoming holy. Because all of a sudden, because we believe in Jesus Christ, we're not going to change overnight. We have to work on it. And the Holy Spirit works on our heart, and slowly by slowly we change, right? But this is the idea of becoming holy. What God does in our lives. God takes away certain things. God brings in certain things. But it's all about this idea of being holy. And all of these are really, really important realities towards the gospel. But the most important thing that the book of Galatians talk about, and in fact, it's called the Magna Carta of the Bible, but it's all about freedom. The freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, which is the freedom from sin, freedom from judgment, freedom from hell, freedom from all kinds of spiritual bondage, and to be able to live for Jesus Christ. In this short epistle here, 6 chapters, that word bondage and also the word freedom go very, very hand in hand. And it's the most two used words in this narrative. Freedom is one of the most important things we can talk about. And in fact, it's one of the most important topics of today, right? You ask any modern man or any woman, they'll tell you, my freedom is all—is what it's all about, right? My culture, my pride, my personal freedom. Freedom is my big thing. In fact, if you take away my freedom, I'm going to fight for it. And in fact, we're taught, we can live out whatever we want to do. We can say whatever we want to say. We can do however we want to do, as long as I don't encroach on someone else's freedom. Right? Do whatever you want, say whatever you want, but just know someone else has the ability to say something else to you. See? Freedom is this idea that we have complete control over everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we're exposed to, what we want to hear and what we want to see. But my brothers and sisters, I challenge you today. The freedoms that we take, the freedoms that we find so essential, the freedoms that we say are inalienable, are sometimes confused. And because the freedom in any time in my life, more people are confused on what freedom is. Because freedom is not about doing whatever you want to do or being able to hear whatever you want to hear. Because when we live in a world like that, there are no absolutes. There's no moral compass. Because everything is derived from freedom. Think about it. If everyone was absolutely free to whatever they wanted to do, then there is no recognition of accountability, responsibility, or judgment. And so when we say, oh, we demand freedom, we want freedom, and we think about freedom, and we want this kind of freedom, it's really all a deception. Because the truth is, freedom that's not in a regenerative soul, right, is a soul that's still bound to sin. The only way we can have any kind of freedom in our lives is to choose God. Because the truth is, if we don't do it, all we end up doing is choosing sin that most appeals to us or less affects us the least most, right? So there is no freedom of sin. There is no freedom from guilt. And if there's no freedom from guilt, there's no freedom from fear. No freedom from judgment. No freedom from eternal punishment. See, with our lives, we have all these things that we want to do we not? Right? I want to be the best person I can be. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be an engineer. I want to go to school. and we absolutely have these freedoms to do whatever we want. But what happens when we don't come up to those expectations? For example, man, when I was going to high school, now I wasn't like you guys where everyone wanted to be 1600. In fact, at our time, we were doing it at 1100 scale for the SAT. And I remember, man, as long as I got like 900, I'll be good. Right? I got a 950. I got into UH and everything was good. Do you think I had any kind of freedom? I did not, because when I went to school, that first year I went surfing, the surf was really epic and I rarely went to school. I got put on academic probation. Okay, I'll tell you the truth, I surfed every day. Was my heart filled with any joy, with anything good? I had the freedom to do whatever I wanted in college, right? And some of you guys are in the cusp of having this kind of freedom yourselves. And you think, man, I can do whatever I want. But I ask you, in those freedoms, those things that you put into your heart that really isn't from God, what happens to those things? What happens in your life? Those of you guys who aren't even in college, those of you guys who are in high school, thinking about the different things that you want to do with your life. You have absolute freedom to choose whatever you want. But does any of those things take fear from away from you? Take judgment away from you? Take eternal punishment away from you? See, the thing is, the things we put into our hearts sometimes become chains and becomes the things that binds us to this world. And what happens when we fail? We have shame. Right? How many of you guys ever felt shame where like, man, I can't face the person, or I can't do this, or I can't do this? Or have you ever disappointed mom or dad to the point where like, man, my life is so hard? Is that any kind of freedom to you guys? See, the things that we call freedoms are actually things that bind us. There's only one thing where we can get free, and that's in Jesus Christ. Everything else leads to iniquity or transgression. And it heads to eternal punishment. None of these things are free. So what does Christ set us free from? So this one time, once for all, decisive, definitive action, Christ sets us free from our sins. And what does that mean? We are no longer slaves to sin. Right? Think about it. If we don't know that we're not supposed to sin, double negative, that doesn't work. If we know that we're not supposed to sin, but we sin, doesn't that cause a rift with our relationship with God? But if it only ended there, then that would be the end of the story. But that freedom comes because of what Jesus did. Because of his grace, his blood that covers us, his actions ensued our liberty. Now we are completely free. We are completely free from the bondage, not only from bondage, but from the guilt of that sin. See, freedom is rejecting what the world is saying and accepting what Christ does. Because the truth is, when the bondage that Christ saved us with, he didn't save us into another form of bondage. Right? When Christ sets us free, he sets us free completely. It means that when we find ourselves in God, there's never any more saying, I need to perform, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. Because the saving grace of Jesus Christ is a once for all thing. Let me ask you, how many guys, thank Uncle Glenn for doing that last Friday. You don't have to answer this. But we were asked, right? How many guys feel like you guys deserve God's love? And everyone said, oh, 90%, 80%. No, I don't deserve God's love. Okay. How many guys feel like, and that can be a certain extent true. But then the next question was, how many guys feel like you didn't earn God's grace? See, there should never be a time where we feel like that. See, like I said, God's grace, God's salvation, God's freedom doesn't lead us into another form of bondage. Right? We should never feel like, oh my gosh, I have to earn myself to Christ. Because that's another form of freedom that we have right here. That he says that I already did it for you. See, we have this perspective as Christians to always look at it from a back point of view. We already know how the ending goes. We've already won. The hard part is living our lives out to that point. But see, when we come to Jesus Christ, see, and you know, I hear this time and time again. They say, Pastor, you know why I don't want to be a Christian? You know why Christianity is so hard? There's so many rules. I have to be good. I have to do this. I have to read Bible and all these things. And I always challenge these people. It's like, do you think God made us so that he would put more burden upon us? All these things are other things that God gives us so that we can get closer to him, so we get to know him. He says, read my word so you can know me. Right? He didn't set us free to get us more stuff to do. But he said, I've already done it in my son, Jesus Christ. So come to me. I don't know about you, but that's free as free can be, right? Did you have to invest anything into that salvation? Maybe a little bit of faith. In fact, maybe that much faith. God will do the rest. See, that's true freedom. That we don't have to do another task. That we don't have to perform more. Those of you guys who are going to be engineers, especially software engineers, every year and a half, every 2 years, you're going to be under review. Right? Every 2 years, you're going to be under review. They're going to say, are you smart? Are you worthy? Are you still doing what you're doing? Are you a productive team member? And every time, they're going to challenge you over and over again. You think your job leads you to freedom? No, your job leads you to more stuff. When God says, I give you my life, he means it fully. When Jesus died on the cross, that saving work on the cross is a once for all thing. So anytime we ever foster this idea of, man, I need to earn this grace, or man, I need to perform, because you guys said that, you guys need to stop that thinking. Because what you're saying is, Jesus, what you did was not enough. In fact, it's not enough. I need to live my life a certain way, more than you call me to, and do it a certain way, more than you say for me to do, right? Why? Because we think we have these freedoms and we can keep going on and on. No. Christ did it so that he says, I love you once for all. Now, I'm going to say it this way too. In the scripture, it talks about circumcision, okay? And what this is this idea of this becoming a Jew first, right? That's the whole thing. And that's why Paul says, don't do it, because now you're going to be under the law. Let me ask you guys this. The Bible says circumcision. What are you guys putting in there? What is there that you're saying, God, I need to do this more before I can come to you? God, I need to do this more before I can fully trust you in everything that you say or do and everything you say about me. Before I believe that, I need to do this one next thing. Don't get circumcised. He's challenging us, right? He's saying, think different. The world says you need to earn your way. The world says you need to do this. The world says more burdens you get, right? The more stuff you get, you're going to love it, but I'm going to give you more burdens on top of that. Think about it. Look at any rich person, how much they work. So Christ sets us free for freedom's sake. That's the one thing about Jesus Christ. He never says, you know, yes, we're going to do these things because of our relationship with him. But he said, I've already done the hard stuff. Don't put other legalistic things in there. Don't ever say you're not worthy. Don't ever say you need to do more. Because when Christ died, he died for you. No more, none of this. Don't believe me? There's scripture after scripture that speaks about freedom. John 8:32, 8:36, 8:31 through 47, Romans 6:8-1. All reference and teach in this context. The truth sets people free. The Son sets people free. Those who are free by the Son are truly free indeed. How many things in this world can we say, man, this is my freedom? But these freedoms don't lead to freedom. For example, now, you know, Dublin just had the whole rainbow flag thing. We just had the pride thing. I don't know if you guys heard about this. But the Dublin mayor, there was a big thing about, oh, we should pull these rainbow flags, right? And then at the first meeting, no, we can't do it. And this guy with an NRA flag, well, if you put that, you better represent the NRA. I want this up there too, right? So he did all of these things, and then they said, no. And then 1 week, 2 weeks later, they had another council meeting, and all the LGBTQ said, no, you're going against us. I'm like, how are we going against us? No, we're just saying be free, because if you're going to put a gay pride flag, right, then you better put a Christian flag, you better put this flag or this flag. You know, really, in my mind, it should only be three things, the city flag, state flag, and the American flag, right, the national flag. Those three flags should be the only thing. But they made a big deal about it, saying, no, you're against us. So their freedom of speech is now representing the whole Dublin. By now, next year, they're going to fly rainbow flags in the city. You see, that kind of freedom doesn't lead to freedom. That kind of freedom only leads us to more things that binds us. The truth shall set you free is what the Bible says. Those who are free by the Son are truly free indeed. No more condemnation. We don't have to be afraid. There's no need for shame. I don't know about you, those are the two greatest things I feared growing up. Shame, right? Well, there's a lot of things I was afraid of, but fear and shame, those two really, really stood out. And why is this important? Because the Bible says at the end of verse 1, to stand firm in this freedom. So what does standing firm mean? All of this freedom leads to something, right? Because Christ is the one who sets us free, and he sets us free for freedom's sake. But why does he do all of this? Because he says, stand firm. You know, all of these other things that they say that you can stand firm on, like, for example, I'm going to continue with this Dublin mayor. Do you know at the second meeting, so he was wearing a nice suit, right? At the second meeting when they say, okay, next year we'll do it all and we'll have all the pride flags and all these kinds of things. You know what he did? He wore a sash, a rainbow sash and a rainbow belt, saying, oh, I'm pro-LGBTQ and all these kinds of things. You see how major flop that went? He went from one, literally 2 weeks ago, no, we will not do it, to no, I'm all supportive. This is another thing that these freedoms cost. It makes you change who you are. The fact that there's going to be a rainbow flag, right, and the LGBTQ says, oh, does it bother you that it's up there? No, it doesn't really bother me. You can say whatever you want. But what you're saying is now the whole city is represented by this. And I don't know if that's right for you to say that. See, all these things makes us change who we are. Why does the Bible say so often, get into me, get into my word, hold my word in your heart? Why? Because John verse 8 says it this way, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What all of this is talking about, all of this word of truth, all of these freedoms, is all they're talking about is one thing, the gospel. The word of God, the truth of God, all of that is reflected. To stand firm. Because sin the consequences of that, of them, guilt, judgment, death, all of these things are gone. And that's where we now have this true freedom. That's why Paul connects the command with the word stand firm. He's saying, do not put this law-based relationship with God, but change that into a faith-based relationship with God. Contrast law versus faith, law versus promise, slave versus son, new covenant versus old covenant, slavery versus freedom. See, we all have choices to make. And we can all choose to do whatever we want to and have peace in those things. But there's a reason why Paul says, therefore. He's saying, change it. Change your mentality. Change it. Colossians 1:13 says, He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the sons. See, religion wants to offer freedom. Religion comes in and says to a man, you know what? Because of your feeling guilty and because of these troubles and because of all of these things, I can help you. Follow these rules is what religion says. Religion says you need to do these things. You need to buy into the lies of this world. You need to buy into the lies that the enemy is saying. You're not good enough. But what freedom is saying is that you are not bound by these things at all. In fact, there's only one thing that you're bound to, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't rely on self-reliance. Freedom is not being disconnected from other people. Freedom is not just morality. Freedom is truly to be free from sin. Eastern religion says, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, and all these other things, you leave one world to go to the next, to go to the next. So you buy this lie to get to the next lie, to get to the next lie. But what is God challenging you with right now? He's saying, I've already done those things. Don't buy into the lies anymore. Because freedom is not on the outside. Freedom is not on the people around you. Freedom is not anything else but what's inside of you. Can you stand firm against corruption? Can you stand firm against all the slings and the arrows of this world? Or will you turn a blind eye and walk towards the darkness? Because that's what the gospel says. You are free from those things. You once were a sinner. You were once a slave to sin. You were bound by sin. But now you are not no more. If you just choose to follow God. So let me ask you one last question in conclusion. Where does freedom lie? Chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. That's the summation of Galatians. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Freedom comes from no other place than Christ. Freedom is not in anything that we think about. It's not in any type of legalism. It's not in any type of thing that we put before God. Freedom is in Christ alone. And if you haven't asked Jesus Christ in your life, you guys got to know that you guys are still bonded to that sin. And the longer you're staying bonded to sin, you are not bonded to Christ. And Christ is here to set you free. In a second, we're going to partake in communion. I want you guys to think about what Jesus Christ has done. Because that's what it's all about. Freedom is not in us. Freedom is not around us. Freedom is on the inside, what God has done for us. So when a person comes to Christ, you guys got to understand, it is Christ who is the liberator. We've all heard, yeah, Jesus forgives my sins, Jesus forgive my sins. But have you guys really internalized that for yourself? That he died for your sins. Because that's what we're going to do. When we partake in the bread, when we partake in the wine, we're saying, Jesus Christ, your flesh and your blood was broken for me. And I believe that you have freed me from sin. And that's what Paul's message is. Significant. Because it takes the fears of the world, of just death, judgment, of shame, and says, Jesus Christ has done it all. Pray with me. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that we have this freedom in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us into this place of grace. God, as we go through this 4th of July weekend and we celebrate our independence and our freedom, Lord, help us to never forget what you have died and the freedom, the true freedom we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for your mercies, Lord. We love you and thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.